This is the European Debrief by Atlas News. Welcome to the European Debrief by Atlas News, where we take an in-depth look at the latest stories from the region and show you their broader context. In this episode, we'll delve into the recent attack at the Crocus City Hall in Moscow, claimed by the Islamic State group, ISIS. We'll analyze the details available, including a statement released by ISIS and the broader context of this tragic event. At least 115 people were killed and over 100 wounded in the attack. Gunmen opened fire on concertgoers, causing panic and a stampede. They also set the entertainment complex ablaze before fleeing. Thankfully, Russian media reports indicate all four attackers have been apprehended. ISIS, through its Almaty news agency, released a statement claiming responsibility for the attack. They portray it as a coordinated assault targeting a large Christian gathering. The statement describes the attackers using machine guns, pistols, knives, and incendiary devices. It further claims the attack resulted in at least 300 casualties. Here's where some critical analysis comes in. While the statement confirms four attackers, it doesn't reveal anything unknown previously. ISIS has a history of claiming responsibility for isolated attacks, and the photo's existence suggests some planning, but doesn't definitively prove ISIS involvement. We do know, from footage and media reports, that the attack targeted the concert venue and the attackers used automatic rifles and incendiary devices. Witness videos also showcase the horrific nature of the attack, with gunmen firing indiscriminately on crowds. The casualty figures presented by ISIS are likely inflated, as is typical with their statements. However, the number aligns somewhat with official reports. The statement also mentions the attack being part of their war against countries fighting Islam, a vague justification often used by ISIS for attacks in the West. The motive behind the attack remains unclear. While ISIS claims it targeted Christians, this detail hasn't been confirmed by authorities. Investigations are ongoing, and hopefully we'll gain a clearer picture in the coming days. It's important to remember that ISIS thrives on spreading fear and chaos. We should stay informed by reliable sources and avoid amplifying their propaganda. Following the horrific attack at Moscow's Crocus City Hall, four individuals have been brought before the Basmani court. Russian media reports allege their involvement in the tragedy, with each facing potential life sentences if convicted. Let's delve into the details surrounding these suspects. Authorities have apprehended and identified Shamsiddin Fariduni, Dalerjan Mirzoev, Saida Krami Rachabalizoda, and Mohammad Sobir Faizov. Notably, ISIS released a photo that appears to match these individuals. The profiles paint a concerning picture. Fariduni, a young Tajik father, reportedly worked at a factory near Moscow. Mirzoev, another Tajik national, also has a family. The youngest suspect, Faizov, was previously employed at a barbershop. News reports indicate he was injured during his capture. A court order mandates their detention until May 22nd on terrorism charges. Two suspects, Mirzoev and Rachabalizoda, reportedly confessed during initial hearings. However, disturbing allegations of torture against at least one detainee have surfaced online. This raises serious questions about the validity of their confessions and the motives behind them. As the investigation unfolds, we can expect more information regarding the suspects' roles, intended targets, and the specific charges they face. Their upcoming court appearances will be critical in piecing together the events that transpired before, during, and after the attack. The suspects' statements could hold significant weight, particularly in light of recent pronouncements by President Putin suggesting possible Ukrainian involvement. If their testimonies align with this narrative, it could further strain already tense relations. It's important to critically analyze all emerging information. The torture allegations necessitate a thorough investigation to ensure the integrity of the legal proceedings. Following the devastating attack at Moscow's Crocus City Hall, Russia has doubled down on accusations that Ukraine was involved. Let's dissect the latest developments in this unfolding story. Previously, Security Council Secretary Patrushev initiated these claims. Now, a coordinated effort by the Russian government seems to be solidifying this narrative. While Foreign Minister Lavrov stated Russia will handle the investigation internally, President Putin emphasized increased security measures at educational institutions and children's areas. This suggests a potential fear of future attacks. The most significant escalation came from FSB Director Bortnikov. He not only reaffirmed the terrorist threat, but also directly implicated Ukraine. Bortnikov alleges Ukraine planned to welcome the attackers as heroes and claims they aided radical Islamists who carried out the attack. However, he contradicts himself by admitting the mastermind remains unidentified despite capturing all four gunmen. Further muddying the waters, Bortnikov accuses the US, Ukraine, and the UK of being behind the attack, according to Russian state media. Adding another layer of intrigue, Belarusian President Lukashenko mentioned sharing information with Putin about the alleged organizer. It's crucial to remember that these accusations haven't been independently verified, and the investigation is ongoing. The torture allegations against some suspects further complicate the picture. Next, on March 23rd, several Ukrainian drones targeted the Samara region, reportedly killing two civilians and injuring one more. The main target was the Kuibyshev oil refinery, a giant facility owned by Rosneft, Russia's state-owned oil company. The attack caused a fire in the refinery's processing unit. While Ukraine claims success, local Russian authorities deny Ukrainian involvement and say the fires had different causes. The Russian Ministry of Defense adds another layer of complexity by stating they destroyed 12 Ukrainian drones in regions bordering Ukraine, far from Samara itself, which is roughly 800 kilometers from the border. This distance raises questions about the capabilities of these Ukrainian drones. Later on the same day, explosions also rocked the Novokuibyshevsk refinery located near Kuibyshev. The international community has mixed reactions. The US reportedly urged Ukraine to halt these attacks through intelligence channels, fearing a rise in global oil prices and potential Russian retaliation. However, Lieutenant General Ben Hodges, a retired US military leader, encouraged Ukraine to continue its strikes, dismissing calls for an end to the attacks. These drone strikes mark a new phase in the war. Since March 13th, Ukraine has launched a series of asymmetric attacks using drones, targeting Moscow's Domodedovo airport and multiple oil refineries. British intelligence estimates that these attacks may have impacted at least 10% of Russia's oil refining capacity. The full impact of these strikes remains to be seen. They could disrupt Russia's oil production and potentially limit their ability to fund the war effort. However, they could also lead to higher global energy prices and potentially escalate the conflict. We'll continue to monitor the situation and provide updates as they become available. Next, in a move highlighting the ongoing challenges facing Ukraine, President Zelensky has dismissed Oleksiy Danilov, head of the National Security and Defense Council, SNBO. This dismissal follows a series of leadership changes within Ukraine's defense apparatus. No official reason was given for Danilov's removal, who held the position since October 2019. His replacement is Oleksandr Litvinenko, previously the chief of the Foreign Intelligence Service. This dismissal is part of a broader trend. In early February, significant changes began at the top levels of Ukraine's defense structure. Even popular figures like General Valery Zelushny, the armed forces commander, were affected. President Zelensky has spoken of a renewal being necessary. This sentiment reflects growing concerns about Ukraine's ability to counter the stronger Russian military, particularly their manpower and artillery. Western observers acknowledge the difficulties Ukraine faces. Some estimates suggest Ukraine needs an additional 300,000 to 500,000 troops to halt the Russian advance. President Biden has expressed concern, acknowledging Ukraine's dire straits. Zelensky's struggle to secure additional weaponry is compounded by war weariness among Western populations and depleted stockpiles in European nations. The timing of these changes is particularly interesting, coinciding with Putin's re-election. This highlights the ongoing tensions between Ukraine and Russia. The leadership changes underscore the complexities and challenges faced by Ukraine's defense establishment as they navigate this volatile situation. Next, we'll delve into the recent arrest of a suspected ISIS member in Barcelona, Spain. This event comes amidst heightened global concerns about terrorism following a deadly attack in Moscow just last week. Authorities allege the Barcelona suspect, whose identity hasn't been released, actively promoted ISIS through encrypted messaging platforms. He reportedly spread jihadist content praising past attacks and even shared instructions on how to make explosives. Investigators believe this dissemination was meticulously planned to recruit followers and garner support for ISIS, also known as Daesh. The case raises a red flag about the evolving tactics of terror groups. The suspect's use of encrypted communication and potential involvement with cryptocurrencies suggests a shift towards more sophisticated online operations and possible terrorist financing activities. This arrest also highlights the international connections within extremist networks. The suspect reportedly had contacts with other jihadists recently apprehended in Canada and Sweden. This international dimension underscores the need for global cooperation in counter-terrorism efforts. Let's consider the broader context. The Barcelona arrest follows the horrific attack on Moscow's Crocus City Hall, where ISIS militants killed over 130 people. This attack occurred despite warnings from the US about potential threats against public venues in Moscow, which were disregarded by Russian authorities. The Moscow attack wasn't an isolated incident. In the past year, the US military warned about the capability of the Afghanistan-based ISIS branch, ISKP, to launch attacks abroad. These warnings were tragically validated by a suicide bombing in Pakistan and a double suicide attack in Iran, both claimed by ISKP. In response to the Moscow attack and the evolving threat landscape, European authorities have increased their terror threat levels. This Barcelona arrest serves as a stark reminder of the ongoing dangers posed by ISIS and the importance of international vigilance and collaboration to counter online radicalization, disrupt financing networks, and dismantle extremist cells. Now we'll discuss the recent mass food poisoning incident at HMP Lewis Prison in the UK. While initial reports suggested a potential poisoning by an unknown substance, thankfully, authorities have since confirmed it was a foodborne illness caused by contaminated curry. This incident, however, raises several concerning issues related to prison safety and management. Let's break it down. 15 individuals, including staff and prisoners, fell ill after consuming a meal served during a religious service at the prison chapel. Thankfully, no fatalities have been reported, but some patients remain hospitalized. The immediate response involved dispatching 8 ambulances and placing the prison on lockdown. HMP Lewis is a Category B prison designed to hold around 740 inmates. However, reports in 2016 indicated overcrowding issues. Furthermore, the prison houses a specific population with dedicated wings for drug users, those struggling with addiction, and inmates experiencing suicidal thoughts. This context sheds light on a potential underlying problem: drug smuggling within the prison. In 2016, the Prison Officers Association highlighted severe staff shortages and poor management at HMP Lewis, which they believed contributed to a 6-hour-long riot that year. Additionally, reports from staff members described the prison resembling a war zone due to these same issues. The authorities haven't yet determined whether the food poisoning incident is linked to prisoner smuggling or any malicious intent from staff. However, the established prevalence of drug trafficking within HMP Lewis raises questions about the effectiveness of security measures and highlights the challenges faced by understaffed prisons. This incident underscores the importance of ensuring proper food hygiene practices within correctional facilities. It also reignites the debate about managing contraband and maintaining safety in overcrowded prisons with limited resources. We'll continue to monitor the situation and provide updates as they become available. Finally, we'll delve back into the Wirecard accounting scandal that rocked the financial world in 2020. Today's news involves the rearrest of a former Austrian intelligence officer, Egisto Ott, suspected of aiding the escape of a key figure in the scandal, Jan Marsalek. Let's rewind. Wirecard, a German fintech company, imploded after revelations of a massive accounting fraud. Billions in supposed profits were fabricated, and the company's house of cards came tumbling down. Central to the scandal is Jan Marsalek, Wirecard's former COO, who vanished to Russia after the company's collapse. Today's news confirms the rearrest of Egisto Ott, a former Austrian intelligence officer previously apprehended in 2021 on suspicion of helping Marsalek flee. This case exposes a web of espionage and corruption. Austrian authorities believe Ott, along with another recently arrested suspect, sold classified information to Marsalek, who they allege was a Russian spy. The scandal goes deeper. These arrests raise questions about Austria's Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution and Counterterrorism, BVT. Reports suggest the BVT itself was compromised, infiltrated by Russian agents, including Marsalek. The BVT's failings were so severe that it was ultimately dissolved and replaced by a new agency. Jan Marsalek's story is stranger than fiction. The grandson of an Austrian resistance fighter with suspected Soviet ties, Marsalek rose through the ranks of Wirecard while simultaneously working for Russia's GRU intelligence agency. Following the exposure of the accounting fraud, Marsalek disappeared, resurfacing in Belarus and then Russia. He's currently an international fugitive with an Interpol red notice for his arrest. Allegedly, Marsalek's recruitment by the GRU began in 2010, facilitated by his connections to the Austrian-Russian Friendship Society. This enabled him to travel to Syria under Russian military auspices and even fly in a MiG-29 fighter jet. He reportedly received a fake priest identity and built his own network of spies. The rearrest of Egisto Ott is just the latest chapter in the Wirecard saga, a story that exposes corporate fraud, international espionage, and the vulnerability of intelligence agencies. We'll continue to follow developments as this complex case unfolds.